Yo, DJ L Spade here, asking y'all, take a second after you listen to my podcast and go check out my new album, L Spadia 2. Get over 200,000 streams on Spotify and over 100,000 streams on Apple Music right now. I think you'll like it. Check it out. Tell me what you think about it. Hit me up on Instagram at DJ L Spade. Follow me on Facebook at DJ L Spade. Follow me on Twitter. I bet you can guess. At DJ L Spade. Peace. Common Knowledge Podcast. Just a man doing the best he can with what he got. And yo, I'm here to give y'all the most pertinent and pressing news. Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet break it up after 5 years of marriage. That's right, baby. Aquaman is free. He really about to be Aquaman now, because he about to be swimming in all types of puss. All types of it. Yo. Aquaman for real. And yo, Jason Momoa is 42 years old. You know, very handsome looking man. So, you know, I have no worries that he's going to jump back and bounce back from this. Lisa Bonet, a sneaky 54-year-old. Sneaky. I mean, she looks good. Old girl's put together well to be 54. Like, dead ass. I don't think she have any problem finding a new suitor. Plus, man, back in the day, Lisa Bonet was that one. It's hard to explain to you kids, like, back in the 90s, the mid-90s, close to the 2000s, it was just like, the top pinnacle was Lisa Bonet. I'll throw Beyonce in there, because that was her in her prime. Stacey Dash, before she went crazy conservative on y'all, and then turned around and decided she wanted to be black again. But those were like three of the top ones in the 90s, man. I mean, you could throw Whitney Houston in there, Mariah Carey. It was a few more junts. But like, Lisa Bonet was one of them junts. It's hard for me to explain to y'all like how much dudes was into Lisa Bonet. Like, that is a catch. For real, for real. Like, yo. Like I said, still looking pretty good at 54. 54. Still can get that work. For real. Holla at your boy. Dead ass. But Jason Momoa released a statement via the Instagrams, because Lisa Bonet doesn't have an Instagram. Yo, that's another reason why she that one. She ain't got no Instagram? I mean, she don't be putting her business out there. Real talk. Tell you, man. Might need to backtrack on this one, Jason. But anyway, he put out a Instagram statement, which goes like this. We have all felt the squeeze and changes of this transformative times. A revolution is unfolding in our family and is of no exception. Feeling and growing from this seismic shift occurring. And so we share our family news that we are parting ways in marriage. We share this not because we think it's newsworthy, but so that as we go about our lives, we may do so with dignity and honesty, which means I'm about to be slanging that wee-wee everywhere. I'm about to be swimming in pools. Aquaman's out here in these streets. And the same thing goes for Lisa Bonet. Yo, y'all see me out here in these streets with a young little tenderoni, I don't need y'all giving me the side eye. That's basically what that statement means. We share this not because we think it's newsworthy, but so that as we go about our lives, we may do so with dignity and honesty. It's like, yo, don't be sweating me when y'all see me out here with something new. Because both of these are some fine individuals, and they ain't going to have no trouble finding somebody else. Yeah, you look, dead ass. Like, Jason Momoa ain't going to have no problems finding somebody else. It goes on to say, the love between us carries on, evolving in ways it wishes to be known and lived. What the... We free each other to be who we are learning to become. Yo, that's cheesy, bro. Like, that's just like honeypotting. Seriously, he fishing with these lines, yo. He trying to get him. Yo. We free each other to be who we are learning to become. The statement concluded with, our devotion unwavering, to its sacred life of our children, teaching our children what's possible, living the prayer, may love prevail. J and L. And this is a good way to break up, man. It wasn't messy at all. They put out a good statement. And shout out to both of them for being adults about this, man. That's the first lesson in all of this. Like, breakups ain't got to be messy. They don't have to be. And this is a good way to end it. So props to them. Like, I didn't hear anything messy. I didn't hear no slanderous stuff. Maybe it is some bullshit going on behind the scenes that we don't know. But the thing is, we don't know, and that's how it should be. So, yo, props to them for that. And, yo, man, after 5 years of marriage, they decide to call it quits. Now, honestly, I don't give a damn about this. I'm just using this as an excuse to talk about what I like to talk about. In the year our Lord, 2022, we're going to have to rethink what we consider a successful marriage, man. Like, the conservative archetype of a marriage is no longer, in my opinion, viable, right? Because, like, the conservative form of marriage only worked because women had no options or very few options, right? Like, back in the days, 50 years ago, this would be super scandalous and salacious, and you wouldn't think of this. Like, Lisa Bonet, they got words, what do you call those? Women who weren't married or lost their husband at an old age and wasn't married. Spinster, yeah, she would be a spinster back in in the 60s. They'd be like, yo, she's a spinster. Old maid, can't do nothing. But that is no longer the case whatsoever, man. Like I said, the old archetype of marriage was like, yo, the woman didn't have no option because she couldn't work. Like, y'all got to remember, bro, like, in America, women couldn't open up a checking account to 40 years ago. Like, 40 years ago, women had to have, men there to co-sign for them to open up their own savings and checking account, dog. Like, we ain't too far back from being super progressive. Like, people like to think that America is so progressive, or the world in general is so progressive, but we ain't, bro. Like, women now have more options. And with that, I'm gonna beat the drum that me and the homie Les Caliber are always been beating, man. Like, marriage now is for love. And we're not used to that, because marriage usually wasn't about love. It was a business relationship. You know, that's why you have so many damn arranged marriages around the world. Like, yo, give me the woman, 3 cows, and I'm good. But now we're marrying for love. So we're going to really, reconfigure what we think is a successful marriage. Like, I think 5 years of marriage is dope. I do. I really think they hung in there for 5 years and then decided to leave. Cool. Now, look, dead ass, this is probably going to be the norm, bro. Not even just for celebrities. I'm talking about for regular people, man. Divorce. Because once again, dog, a woman or a man ain't got to put up with your shit. And not to mention, folks are looking better now. Like, dead ass, just can't be honest, man. Like, back in the day, and when I say back in the day, I mean when I was growing up in the 90s. A woman turning 30 was kind of a death sentence. And let me explain. Generally, a lot of women, when I was growing up, when they hit 30 to 35, they looked like trash. I'm just going to be honest. They looked garbage, bro. They looked kind of booty. That was the thing. Right? But now, you got women in their 30s looking awesome and well into their 50s looking great. And even, with gray hair and stuff like that, man, they looking great now. And they got options because they look great. Like, I'm the type of dude, me and the homie Alex were talking about this too, but I'm the type of dude, I don't care how old you are, if you look good. If you look good and you well put together, play ball. I'm great. I'm great with that. Even great. Gray hair on a sexy body, that's super sexy to me. That's my thing. I can roll with that. But back in the day, that wasn't the thing. Women didn't really look as good as they do now. Also, women didn't have their own money, their own jobs, and ways to support themselves. They do now, so we're marrying for love. And, yo, that's a relatively new thing for anybody, in the 21st century. We don't know how to do that. So with that, I feel like it's going to be a lot of these. Yo, we've been married for 10 years. All right, that's enough. Let's go ahead and call it quits. Let me know how much the child support is. Let me know what the kids need. And we're going to keep it moving and find our next relationship. Right? I just feel like that is a successful marriage. Divorce is not like the end all be all or like, wait, we got divorced so the marriage was a failure. Nah, man. Nah. I don't think divorce is a bad thing. I really don't. If two people growing apart. And shout out to Lisa and Jason, man, for like just realizing, yo, man, this ain't working, dog. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing out here, bro? Like, why are we forcing this, man? I'm goddamn Jason Momoa. And you goddamn Lisa Bonet. Because dead ass, I'm quite sure there's a line of dudes trying to holler at Lisa right now. Like, dead ass. Especially, like, people of my age and my ilk who grew up in the 90s who's watching A Different World. Woo! Woo! Lisa. Man. Bah. But anyway, man, Lisa Bonet, Jason Momoa, it's over.
Yo, if you like the Common Knowledge Podcast, check out the Random Show hosted with me and the homie, Alex Lex Caliber Hunter. On the Random Show, we talk about random shit. Follow us on Instagram at random. That's RANDUMB. Random.
Yo, man, give me time to fanboy a little bit. As most of you know, I am from a place called Memphis, Tennessee in the South. Our football team, well, the state football team, the Titans, as I do this podcast right now, is the number one seed in the AFC. Yo, finally, been waiting on this. For so damn long, y'all have no idea, man. The sucker Tom Brady and Bill Belichick was running the AFC, and it was a long, hard run for us, man. Yo, it feels so good to say the Tennessee Titans, baby, number one in the AFC. And, man, we're doing a damn good job, but I'm not going to lie. I didn't see this happening like this. Like, you would have told me Ryan Tannehill was going to be that guy for the Tennessee Titans. After I saw him in Miami, I would have called you a liar, bro. Dead ass. And if you going to tell me that you thought Ryan Tannehill was going to be the man in Tennessee, I'm going to call you a liar, too. I didn't see this coming. But, yeah, I'm glad it's working out. But, yo, Ryan Tannehill turns out to be that guy. I was totally wrong. When he got traded to Tennessee, when he went to Tennessee, I was like, man, this is going to be terrible for us. But nah, dude actually did good, man. Did good. And Derrick Henry's back. So, yo, we need him. And if Julio Jones, who's like 73 in football years, if he can get, man, just keep it together, man, and give us some damn good catches, along with the greatest receiver, well, the receiver who has the greatest name ever, Marcus Johnson. If Marcus Johnson can give us some catches, like, yo, bro, we in. We in, bro. And hopefully, we can make it to the Super Bowl and we can win that junk and get rid of the curse of McNair. Yes, the curse of McNair. Now, a lot of y'all are probably asking me, like, yo, what is the curse of McNair? All right, man, so let me break it down to you. Let Uncle DJ L. Spade tell you the story. All right, I got to go deep into the history, though. So I have always been a Tennessee Titans fan. Even before they went to Tennessee, they were the Houston Oilers at first, and they moved the franchise from Houston to Tennessee. And the reason why I was a Houston Oilers fan is because they had a black quarterback. Just gonna be honest with you. And the name of that black quarterback was Warren Moon, who was cold as hell. Like, yo, it's hard for me to explain how cold Warren Moon was, dog. Like, dead ass. This is how cold Warren Moon was. Warren Moon was cold coming out of college, but because of this thing called racism, he could not get a quarterbacking job in the NFL. So dude went to the CFL. That's right. The Canadian Football League. Wrecked all shit up top of there. Broke all types of records. like did up. I want to say like 10 years up there, at least 7 years up there, was doing so damn good up there that he got called back from the NFL. Like, oh, yo, we made a mistake, man. Dude, Cole, we need to get this dude. And the Houston Oilers got him, took him. And dude was cold for the Houston Oilers. I'm saying like cold. And I'm not going to lie, man, for me as a young black boy in a league that didn't have a lot of black quarterbacks, that was the one I just gravitated towards. And man, Warren Moon was doing, man, stuff before his time, dog. Like, and he had an arm. He could run. Like, dare I say he was Cam Newton-like. I ain't going to say like Cam Newton because there ain't nothing like Cam. I mean, Josh Allen maybe now. But, like, there's nothing like Cam Newton. But that's the only thing I can think of, like, to try to compare to him. Now, with that came a lot of baggage because, yo, because Warren Moon was black, they always was clamoring for the backup white quarterback to take over. I'm not going to lie. And this almost made me stop being a Houston Oilers fan. I never forget this, man. I would never forget this. And I'm not for sure the year, man. Don't quote me on the year. Warren Moon wasn't on the decline. He was still cold. Like, he wasn't doing all the cold stuff he was doing. He was getting up in age. But they was calling for Cody Carlson to replace Warren Moon. And he was a slow-ass quarterback from Baylor. Couldn't do half the shit, but they was just calling for dude to be the replacement for Warren Moon. And they got rid of Warren Moon, and guess what happened? Yes. Cody Carlson was boo-boo, booty butt cheeks, garbage. Worst mistake Houston Oilers ever made. But I say that to say, this franchise has a history of picking black quarterbacks. All right. Keep that in mind. Now, fast forward to the future. 1995 to be exact. Third overall pick in the draft to the Houston Oilers, Steve McNair. And let me tell you, Mount Olive's own Steve Air McNair was a damn good pick. Yo, this was like the turnaround. And then, like, if I'm not mistaken, after he got drafted in 95, in 97, the franchise left Houston and went to Tennessee, which I still contain that the Memphis, Tennessee Oilers could have been a thing. But I never forget, dog. Like, the Houston Oilers, before they relocated to Nashville, and to be honest, the plan was always to move to Nashville because that was the capital. It was going to be a state team. But before then, the Tennessee Oilers, before they picked the Titans' name, played at the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. That was the spot they played in. And I never forget, I went to the game as a Titans fan, Oilers fan, Titans fan. And I never forget, they played the Steelers. And it was nothing but black and gold in that damn arena. Like, every time the Tennessee Titans / at that time Tennessee Oilers played a game at the Liberty Bowl, it was like away game for them, bro. Like, it was no no fans. I felt like I was the only Titans Oilers fan in the world, bro, because it was terrible. Like, man, it's hard to explain. The South is weird. Like, that area, the Mid-South, the tri-state area, Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, those places, like, we live and die football to the point that you will see old men out there on Friday night watching high school football in the cold because we love football. But, like, when it comes to the NFL, the primary teams that people, like, rock with until recently, because, you know, now you got Tennessee Titans fans because people grew up in Tennessee with a football team in Tennessee, so now you got some fans. But even now, I would say a lot of people in Tennessee are Dallas Cowboys fans, San Francisco 49ers fans, Raiders fans, or Steelers fan. Those are the four that you will primarily see in Memphis, right? But because we didn't rock with that team, man, I believe they went on relocated to Nashville. We could have kept that team. Anyway, back to what I was saying. So, 97, they flip to Tennessee. And yo, I'm not going to lie, under Jeff Fisher, who is an iffy coach, they built a squad, I tell you. Like, yo, they built a damn good squad. Like, We had Eddie George, who was a damn good running back. Steve McNair, who was a dual threat quarterback. Like, man, it's hard to explain the accuracy of McNair and, like, the way he could take off and run, too. Like, it was awesome. And, yo, and that, man, we had some dudes, bro. Like, man, we had Javon Curse, defensive end. Who else we had on that damn roster, man? It was just cold as hell. Blaine Bishop was all right until he got hurt in the Super Bowl by his own guy. But we had Blaine Bishop. Who else did we have, man, that was just cold as hell? I want to say our tight end was cold as hell at the time. Damn, who was our tight end there? I can't think of his name, man. Let me go on the internets and see can I find Larry Brown. Yeah, he was cold. Like, yo, we had a squad, bro. We had a legit squad. And in 1999, we made it to the Super Bowl. And if I close my eyes, I can still see the play now. That Super Bowl, Blaine Bishop got hurt, and we was like playing the St. Louis Rams. That's right. They was in St. Louis at the time. We was playing the St. Louis Rams. And look, I'm going to cut to the chase. We got all the way on a last second drive, and we missed the touchdown that would have made us win the game by like 2 yards, a yard. And yo, it was terrible. But after that, anyway, we had some pretty good rosters, man. Ups and downs. Jeff Fisher got fired because he was kind of a garbage coach anyway. Ran through a bunch of coaches and blah, blah, blah. The decline happened. And in 2006, Vince Young was available, and the Titans was poised to take Vince Young. Now, I'm not going to lie. Everybody wanted Vince Young. Even me, as a Titans fan, when the possibility of getting Vince Young was up, if anybody now tells you that they didn't want Vince Young, they was lying. Because Vince Young was cold in college, man. With this, the stuff he did at Texas was ungodly. Like, yo, by all metrics and projections, Vince Young was going to be that guy in the NFL. The heir apparent to Steve McNair. Like, you all, we all wanted him. But this is when the curse of McNair kicks in, right? So, we drafted Vince Young to the Tennessee Titans. Now, Steve McNair was the starting quarterback. And all through this, I remember having, like, I remember reports of this. Where people was like, well, what y'all going to do is Steve McNair. And the Titans organization said, oh, no, we're going to keep Steve McNair, you know. The plan was for Steve McNair to run the team and to let Vince Young sit for a year or two, get acclimated to the system, and then take over the team. Because you got to understand, man, like a lot of these folks out of college going to the NFL, man, they don't know, like, what the NFL is. The jump from the college to NFL is way, way harder. It's way harder on a lot of people because, yo, in college, dude, you can kind of, like, get away being the best person on the field. But, like, in the NFL, everybody the best person on the field. Like, even the slowest person on the roster, dude is good. He was that guy wrecking shit in college, right? Like, the guys are faster, stronger, bigger, and everything. So a lot of people, especially quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks, when they jump to the NFL, they really don't do good the first year. It's very rare to see a quarterback ready at the draft. It usually takes them like a year or two to put things together. And that was always the plan for Vince Young. So we had a damn good quarterback, and Vince Young was sitting in the back waiting, or so we thought. So this is what happened. Steve McNair was chilling over his mistress house, like dead ass. Rest in peace, Steve McNair. That's how he died. But, yo, Steve McNair was over his mistress house, chilling. Right? Time to go to practice. Dude walks up to the practice facility. Try his key card. Boop! Doesn't work. So Steve McNair like, yo, what's going on? Hell nah. Okay. Boop! Try again. Couldn't get in. So now Steve McNair like, yo, why can't I get into the facilities, man? I'm the starting quarterback. What's up? That man calls up to the front office like, yo, guys, I'm here for practice. What's up? They're like, oh, yeah, Steve, we let you go. They didn't even call the guy. They didn't give him no formal release. Dude walked up and found out he was fired because his key card didn't work, bruh. He couldn't get into the practice facility. Had to be escorted off. Bruh. All the disrespect to the man who got us to the Super Bowl. The man who gave us everything. Put his body on the line for us. Put Tennessee on the map. Made us a respectable team. They didn't even tell dude he was fired. Thus the curse of McNair. And yo, once again, I'm going to admit I wanted Vince Young. But I will say this. I do feel like throwing Vince Young out there early kind of led to his demise in the NFL. That, along with, like, dude had personal problems, yo. He was out there killing the strip club with Pac-Man Jones, still about that gang life, you know, sipping lean. It wasn't good for Vince Young. However, anybody who say that Vince Young wasn't cold and you didn't think he was going to be good, you're kind of lying. You know, I ain't going to lie. We had a bad stretch for the black quarterback for a while, man. With Jamarcus Russell, Vince Young, and Michael Vick. Yo, it was it's looking pretty bad for the black quarterback. But yo, that's the curse of McNair. And yo, maybe now, just maybe now, if we make it back to the Super Bowl, we can wash that stank off of us. Because yo, that was terrible what we did to Steve McNair. But I'm pulling for the home team, my squad. Tighten up, baby. Woo! Let's get it.
Have you ever listened to the Common Knowledge Podcast and be like, damn, DJ L. Spade, I wish you would talk more about music? Well, yo, I got you covered. Check out the Secret House Against the World podcast on YouTube, hosted by the homie Robinson Mega, or Mega Robinson, if you please. Co-hosted with me and the homie Jed Axel, we talk about new releases in the hip-hop sphere. Basically underground, because that's their taste preference. But yo, if you want to know what I think about music, check out Secret House Against the World on YouTube. That's Secret House Against the World.
Here at the Random Show, Pimpin' vs. Simpin', we don't just tell you you're a simp. We're going to help you not be a simp. Right now, there's a scourge going on in America of men called incels. Now, if you don't know what incels are, it's short for involuntarily celibate. There are men out here who just can't get no ass.
Balls all full of jizz.
And they're so mad, they're so angry, and they're prone to violence, and they hate women, and we don't want that. So right now, as a service to all the incel men out there, we're gonna give you 3 ways each on how to get some ass. Because look, having them full balls like that is dangerous.
Oof.
We understand why you're mad.
Yeah.
Let us help you out.
Yeah, we might save your life. Little known fact, a lot of mass shooters are, in fact, incel. First and foremost, I would say hit the gym.
Mm.
And as shallow as it sounds, you know, if you got a nice looking body, you're going to get a lot more looks.
Now, number one for me, too, is going to be hit the gym, because a lot of women like super macho buff guys. Now, if you're sitting at home in front of a computer playing video games, mad, put the joystick down, pick up some weight. With all that backed up ball juice, man, you probably can cock up 315.
Woo!
Probably. Give it a try. Lift the weights.
And you'll feel better, too.
Yes, you will. You get some of that
It'll refresh
out.
Your hormones
yes,
and all that stuff.
Yes, get endorphins out. Yeah. Yeah, make yourself a little more physically attractive, man. You're sure to get some women.
Number two, I would say get a good haircut. And it might sound simple, but I believe that there is at least one hairstyle that looks really good.
Also, I like how you do it. You're layering their appearance thing. You're saying get your body right and then get the outside hair. I like how you're doing it.
Right.
Yeah, you're layering
Thank
their
you.
Appearance. Yeah. I like
Thank
that.
You. And because you could see a dude with a great haircut and then, like, say they cut their hair off or get another style and you're like, looked a lot better with that
yeah,
old hair.
Yeah, you gotta actually, like, get a hairstyle to fit your face.
You gotta find it.
Yeah. Like you told me, the dreads look better on my face than the baldness, right? You're like, yo, you probably don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You're not going to look good. I'm like, yeah, I got some female advice, too. They're like, yeah, you might want to keep that hair, buddy. I'm like, oh, okay. So let me keep this hair going. Not saying it's not a short hairstyle that fits me, but right now the dreads are working, so let's go with what works. Now, my advice for you, number two, is learn how to play an instrument, dude. Become the guitar douche.
Ed Sheeran.
It's a surefire way, man. Guys been using this ruse since the beginning of time, bruh. Picking up a guitar, learn how to play a few chords. Now, you ain't got to be that real good at it, to be honest with you. Go in the park, sit down, become the guitar douche, and you can get at least one or two of them, bro.
Yeah, and if you can sing on key,
oh my God.
Even if it's not good singing,
man.
If you're at least, if your pitch is right,
right.
Man, come on.
Low-hanging fruit, bro.
Panty dropper.
Man, instantly. Like I said, the drummers don't really get that much love.
But they're the coolest.
But you can't take the drums out with you. You know what I'm saying?
That's
plus,
the
drums are in the back. So the front man tends to get it. The guitar is always in the front.
Yeah.
But the drums
making
really
that
carry.
Stank face.
Exactly. Hey, yo, bro.
Yeah.
Seriously, become the guitar douche. So, number three, my last advice to you, man. Be yourself. Because there's enough statistical data to prove that women like all types of dudes, man. 9 out of 10, your problem is you're not getting out there. Like, stop being a chicken shit. Go out there and talk to women. Your issue is you. You're probably scared, which I get it, man. It's intimidating sometimes talking to women. But no matter who you are or how ugly you think you are, somebody will fuck you. I guarantee you, right? Like, maybe your expectations up here, maybe you need to bring them down a little bit down here, but somebody will fuck you, my guy. Being involuntarily celibate is a choice. And that's the choice that you made, my guy. Don't be a dick. Go out there and talk to women, bro. Like, actually truly value women and talk to them. Treat them like people, bro. And you will get some ass. The problem is you. If you don't do none of the other tip, take this one from me. Be yourself. And you will come up.
That was very hard one.
Bro, like, yeah. Look, man, can I just be honest with you?
Yeah.
I wasn't always this sexy Adonis you see here.
I have exactly what you said. I have a former roommate who went through that transformation.
Right.
We used to live together. Shouts out to Taryn.
What's up, Taryn?
Taryn Calmer.
Hey.
My first couple of years in Tokyo, I had a roommate. And so I lived with Taryn for 1 year. And when he first came in, he had like, you know, it was kind of your textbook nerdish kind of guy,
right.
Long ponytail, glasses. And he got interested in working out. And so, you know, we lived together, so we would talk about stuff and diet, exercise, and all that stuff. And he really committed to working out. And now he's in great shape. His jawline is chiseled. And I could see his confidence transform. And then he started talking to girls, started getting female attention.
Yes.
And I bumped into him and his girlfriend at the train station a few weeks back. And yeah, man, happy, confident. And I was just like,
good for you,
proud
bro.
Of you, man. Turned his life around.
Yes, incel guy. Listen to what we're saying, man. It ain't the women that's the problem. You're the problem, man. Fix yourself. Get your confidence up and you will be okay. Do you have three? You want to end
that's,
right there?
That's basically my number three is love yourself.
Love yourself. Be yourself.
Because
love yourself.
Something I've learned over the years is if the same shit keeps happening to me, and I am not getting the results that I want, it's usually got something to do with me.
With yourself.
So instead of looking outward like, man, look at Lex and Spade, man, they can get girls, fuck them, and fuck the girls who fuck with them. Like, maybe you should analyze yourself. Because here's the thing, man, if you don't take care of yourself, ain't nobody gonna want you. Or if they do want you, they're gonna be just as fucked up as you. And then you're going to find yourself in a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So love yourself and just stay true to you. Live your life. Do what you want to do. Do what makes you happy. And then people will gravitate towards that. If you're well situated and you're happy, you got that vibe, you got that aura, then, you know, you're going to get natural interactions with people. Yeah.
And that's the Random Show. Pippin versus Sippin. And if you like the Random Show, consider becoming a Patreon.
We would love to make a better Random Show, but if we had a little bit of help, we could make that a reality.
Yes, man. We can educate these incels some more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, get that incel money.
Incel money, probably like we get a billion, man. You can help me get ass.
Take it. Take it. Just like Juicy J at the Verses.
I know, right? They have to make them dance.